life is worth living when he says, cast all of your anxieties upon me because I care. Life is worth living when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in the Father, believe also in me. Life is worth living when Isaiah said that those who wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. Life is worth living when the psalmist says he's a present help in a time of trouble. Life is worth living when you know he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Life is worth living when you know he will be there for you, not only here and now, but even in the hereafter. For the Bible says that those who die in the Lord are absent from the body, but present with the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Yeah, who came down 40 and two generations. Thank God he went about doing good and thought not of himself. Thank God for Jesus, who spoke the words of his Father and did the will of him who sent him. Thank God for Jesus, who gave sight to the blind, fed the hungry, clothed the naked. Thank God that one Friday he went to Calvary, where he hung, bled, and died for your sin and my sin. Life is worth living because he died on the cross for you and I. Lay him in a borrowed tomb. Life is worth living because he that was dead is now alive forevermore. He is my rose of shadow.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Let's give the Lord another hand for the second Lord's Supper experience today as we stand to our feet for the reading of God's holy word. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again now for the privilege of hearing your word. Take us out of self. Allow the Holy Ghost to meet us and minister to us underneath the skin. Meet us, God, in that place that you desire for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I want to lift out verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Recorded are these words. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, excited
about Christmas.
Yeah.
Excited about Christmas. Maybe you don't find that in the verse, but let me help you see it. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting, here it is, for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is Christ. And the M-A-S is the mass, or the mass, which is a mass or high celebration. And so he was excited about Christ mass or Christmas. And I want us to walk through the text and help you see this man, because many times when the story is told of Christmas, very few times do we hear or highlight this man, Simeon, whom I think the Spirit of the Lord today has desired to do for our edification. Let's back up a little bit to verse 22, or even verse 21, and it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of an angel before he was conceived in the womb." First of all, we'll recognize Jesus as the last of seven persons named in Scripture who was named even before they were conceived or born. Secondly of all, in Israel's history and in their culture, when the male child, and as a matter of fact, all children, but especially the male child, names were not confirmed until the 8th day. And so generally in that time, from the time that they're born, if there were not names yet given, that's usually the time that they took recommendation from family and friends, and people come and look at the child and say, "Oh, I think he ought to be named such and such. I think she ought to be named such and such," et cetera, et cetera. So it is actually on the 8th day when the father affirms whatever the name is, that name then is confirmed. Verse 22 says, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses," because you're going to see here that there is two things that happen, purification and dedication, purification of Mary and dedication of Jesus Christ. But anyway, the Bible says, "according to the law of Moses," were accomplished. And you find that in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. "And they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Again, that's in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Verse 23 says, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." That's found in Exodus chapter 13, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 12. But verse 24 says, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." That's in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. So they were fulfilling all of the commands of the law, especially with purification and dedication of Jesus Christ. And so now we get to the part where Simeon, the Bible says, was in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and the same man, look at how the Bible describes him, just and devout, righteous and devout. What was he doing there? Waiting for Jesus. Now, this is the first Christmas that they're talking about, and so you need to recognize, my brothers and sisters, he's excited about this because this is going to earmark the first Christmas, the coming of Christ, and all that God had promised him in the spirit realm. And so he's excited about it for the right reasons. When you survey people today, not many folk who are not children or young at heart are really excited about Christmas. You know, the only time you're really excited about Christmas is when you really don't have to buy gifts, and you really don't have to do no decorating, and you really don't have to do no special this and that. When it's all about Jesus and you, you're excited about it. But you ain't excited when the money is funny. And you can't go shopping, and you can't put up decorations, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and all. And Christmas doesn't mean the same thing like it used. As a matter of fact, you know, we have relegated Christmas to feelings and weather. Last week it snowed, but it don't look like it's going to be no snow for this Christmas. And we say it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas because snow is falling. Snow ain't got nothing to do with Christmas. We associate that. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. What, again, all it has to do with things that are external, things that are, again, without, not within. And too many believers have bought into this myth about what real Christmas is all about. Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love. So you're going to get down, out, and depressed because you some person. Ain't there? And it ain't even about them? Please come home for Christmas. If not home for Christmas. Y'all can act holier than thou if you want to, but I know I'm in your neighborhood. And I can go on and on and on, but you get the point. And so Christmas, many of us are not excited about it because we've been railroaded to all of the facades connected with Christmas. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, when you begin to recognize, here was an old man who was excited about Christmas, the consolation of Israel, the coming of Christ. His focus was right, and so he was excited about Christmas and or the consolation coming to Israel because he wanted what God had desired and had already planned and provided for mankind, including himself. When you really realize that your blessings begin at Christmas with Jesus Christ coming to earth, and because he came to earth, was born here, God provided him not just for his birth, for us to celebrate that in the Christmas spirit, but to recognize he came to die. So he couldn't have died had he not come. And since he came, then that was the beginning of God getting it right for mankind so that mankind could come back into a right relationship with the Father. He was a devout and righteous man, a just and devout man. Listen at this word, because I want you to see something. Verse 25 says, waiting for the consolation of Israel, or Christmas, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Somebody say, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, this is important because the Holy Ghost is going to utilize him to bring about the joy and the fulfillment of a promise that was made to him. Look again, the Bible says in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This man was excited about this because he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had been waiting for Christ. He had been waiting to celebrate Christ. He had been waiting for the salvation that would come to the world, that would not only be salvation for him, but for whosoever will. There are some things about this, and we look at this and see what really was all entailed in Simeon's wait. Well, first of all, it had to do with him himself, his character. Because the first thing the word says is that he was just and devout. So his character revealed, firstly, that he was a man of integrity. Integrity. One of the things, my brothers and sisters, that you need to know, and it's hard for folk who don't have integrity to be excited about Christmas, especially in the spiritual realm. Because when we allow ourselves to be pulled out of our place of spiritual wholeness and relegated to the flesh and buying into the world, many times our excitement eludes us because it is connected with that is not connected with the Word. And so you can't be excited about the things of the Word when your focus is on the world. He was a man of integrity, and he was focused on the things of God, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Listen at this, because this is so important for you to see. And so because the Holy Ghost was upon him, he was again confirmed as a devout and just man, a righteous man, a man of integrity. Again, my brothers and sisters, when we begin to recognize the true integrity of a believer who focuses on what Christianity is all about, and all of our Christianity extends from Christmas because of the Christ who came, who is our Savior, when we have entered into relationship with Him, we are excited and we celebrate the beginning of the best gift that was ever given to mankind. When you really focus on that, it literally changes your true perspective of Christmas. And you're not against giving gifts, and you're not without celebrating the season, and all of that's wonderful, but it is in its place. Your excitement comes in remembering afresh what God did for us, and what He did for us then, He's still continuing now because of Jesus. Well, I want you to see something else. Let's look in the text. Because you're going to see, not only was he a man of integrity, but he was a man of intensity. Because let's go back into the Word and see this. Because the Bible says again, verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, I want you to see what happens here. He gets excited about, it's an intense thing because he's seeking for Jesus. He's looking for Jesus. And I think I ought to throw out parenthetically, he can be right in your midst. Amen. And you not see him because you're not looking for him. Sunday after Sunday, you show up and Jesus is right here. And you come in messed up and you leave messed up because you really weren't seeking Jesus. He is ever present, ever ready, ever available to meet us in our situations and circumstances and to deliver us out of those things if we will put our focus on Him and not on everything and everyone except Him. And so this man was intensely seeking Jesus. Let me help you understand this. This was no new thing that men would come on the eighth day and dedicate their son and purify their wives. This was a common thing. And no doubt on this day, he wasn't the only one there doing this. But yet, he was the one that was sought out by Simeon. Let me tell you why. Because he was a man of integrity, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, can I tell you, when the Holy Ghost is upon you, he can reveal some stuff you'll never know otherwise. With all of those folk, God, through the Holy Ghost, led him to Joseph and Mary to find Jesus. Let me back up just a little bit again in verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see what? Death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Holy Ghost came upon him. Said, Simeon, I know you've been looking for Jesus a long time. I know you've been looking for the consolation of Israel. Now listen at this, because he is a man of integrity and he is intensely looking and he kept looking and searching, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and now because of his integrity and now because of his intensity, the Holy Ghost reveals to him, listen, because you've been faithful and because you've been focused, I'm going to show you favor, and you're not going to leave planet Earth. Yes. Until Jesus gets here. In other words, when you're really serious about what you're looking for, when you're really sincere about seeing God manifest what he said, listen, he'll meet you where you are and confirm he's in control of this thing. So Simeon is there, and so he now has the confirmation, I can't go till Jesus comes. And so he's more intensely looking now because he wants to see Jesus, and it will be well with his soul after he sees Jesus. He lived in a daily expectation of seeing Jesus. My brothers and sisters, when you know the person who can change your life, who can make your life whole, who is the promise of God to complete you, is promised to you, if you got any sense, you'll be looking for him every day and in every way. Now I want you to see something else again. And notice again, the Bible says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Holy Ghost is on him in verse 25. Holy Ghost reveals to him in verse 26, and the Holy Ghost leads him in verse 27. Do you get the picture? The Holy Ghost must be important in the believer's life. If you really want to get to Jesus and understand what God was doing. Now, at that point in time, the Holy Ghost had not been given freely and had fully come. So he came upon. But since Pentecost, he has come to live within. And so what Simeon has experienced in this occasion, we can live in this experience every day. Listen at this. Now, the Holy Ghost has led him to the right place at the right time for the right purpose. Listen at this. The Holy Ghost's job, my brothers and sisters, is to reveal to you the things of God. So he leads him first to the right place. You can be in the wrong place and miss your blessing. Did you hear what I just said? But I promise you, if the Holy Ghost is leading you, you'll never be in the wrong place. Listen at this. He could have been in the right place and took a break at the wrong time and missed Jesus. But he was there at the right period. And so, my brothers and sisters, you've got to be led of the Holy Ghost and know when God has a word for you, God's Spirit is going to speak to you. And if you are in the right place at the right time, you're going to hear for the purpose that God desires to reveal anything to you, what it is he would have you to know or have you to do. Listen at this word again, because I want you to see it. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, first of all, how did he know that Jesus was the consolation? How did he know that he was the Christ child? The Christ of the Mass or celebration. Hi. How did he know? By the Holy Ghost. A lot of folk there, he could have blessed and picked and chosen. But the Holy Ghost led him at the right place, at the right time, and led him to the right person. And the purpose was so that he would, it was twofold, that he would see the consolation or experience the first Christmas with Christ being the focus, and then be free to move from this place and to go into glory. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. Again, he took him up, verse 28, in his arms and blessed God. You see, when you really accept Jesus, when you see Jesus, and not just see him, but receive Jesus, because he didn't just see Jesus, he received Jesus. And when he received Jesus, he took him up in his arms, and guess what he started doing first? Blessing God. See, you can tell folk that has already seen and have already received Jesus, because they have no issues with blessing God. The folk who can't bless God are those who've not received Jesus. They may have seen him moving. They may have seen him in action. They may have seen him in operation, but they've not received him, because once they receive him, they have no issue with giving God glory and giving God praise. So you look at folk and you see folk around you shouting and rejoicing and so forth. But the reason why you can't do it is because you haven't received from him the very thing that inspires you to give him glory and praise. Listen at this again. I want you to see this, because this man has been waiting and excited about Christmas for a long time. The Bible says, verse 29, Lord, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He received the greatest present, the greatest gift, by seeing, listen to this, and secondly, receiving Christ Jesus. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's the real meaning of Christmas? Seeing Christ for yourself. He's here, he's present, but many folk can't see him. You've got to see him for yourself. But not just see him, but receive him, embrace him. He took him up in his arms and began to give God praise, to bless God. What was he blessing God for? His faithfulness. God, thank you for your faithfulness. How many of you know you wouldn't be here if it weren't for God's faithfulness? God, thank you for your favor. How many of you know you wouldn't experience life on the level you experience and enjoy some of the things you've enjoyed had it not been for the favor of God? God is not only faithful, but he grants favor to those who focuses on him. And so he's thanking God. God, you don't ever not back up your word. You were faithful. I know I've been waiting for a long time, and this is what you've got to know. Some of you might have been waiting for a long time. You might have been waiting, struggling for a long time. You might have been seeking for a long time. But God is faithful. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep. Don't give up on God. God wants you to see him as he has promised. Old folk had it right when they said, he may not come when you want him. But Simeon knew he was right on time. Right on time. He was seeking him. He was seeking him. He found him only after he had sought him. Listen at this. Verse 30 says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the coming of the Lord. I have laid eyes on what you've promised a long time ago. It might have taken a while to get here, but it was worth everything I had to go through for it to manifest itself. And he is excited about Jesus. He's excited about Jesus. There is a peace that enters his heart and comes into his life now that he has seen Jesus. He ain't got nothing else to live for. It's like, what else? Why do I have to stay now? I have seen what I've been waiting on. And see, Jesus is the center of his joy, the fulfillment of his life. Now, when Jesus fills you up like that, where you say, like Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, you're not caught up on all the stuff of the world. It's like, if he calls me today, praise the Lord. Because as long as I've seen him, experienced him, received him, it is well underneath the skin. But some of you can't leave because Jesus ain't who you're looking for. You ain't ready to leave because your heart ain't fixed and your mind isn't made up and you ain't ready. But if it were Jesus you were looking for, this would be a wonderful Christmas in spite of the condition. In spite of whatever it is you're going through or dealing with, it would be a wonderful Christmas, not because of others, but because of Jesus. Listen at this man again, because he is inspired. I mean, he's not only a man of integrity and a man of intensity, but he's a man of inspiration. He is inspired by the fruition of God's promises. Can I tell you, nothing will inspire you more than God's promises coming to pass in your life? Is there anybody in the house who's ever had God to promise them something and deliver it? Man, that's an exciting time to see it ain't an accident, it's providence. God said it and he performed it, and you got it. Now you can shout about it. And it's not just about the gift, but the giver who gave it to you. And you know it is well underneath your skin. The world didn't give it. World can't take it away. The joy, the peace, and everything else you have, if it comes from God, you ought to tell somebody it is well. Oh, some folk can't shout about their gift because the gift didn't come from the real giver. Can't show that gift because you know where you got that from.